Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For our next two lessons, I want us to focus our attention upon some things that are revealed to us in three passages in the New Testament, one from Matthew, one from Mark, and one from Luke. Let me read these three passages to you. Matthew 27. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And then from Mark 15, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him." And then Luke records, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." Now the Bible student will recognize that all three of these passages are referring to the same circumstances. Christ was on the cross, and there were others that were standing round about the cross. Particularly are these records about words that were spoken by his enemies. Now these three records, they do not say exactly the same thing. But one account may include something that maybe the other two do not include. But it's important to understand there are no contradictions at all in these three records, but they complement each other. It's when we put all three of them together that we get the complete inspired revelation about the things of which they are speaking. The Bible never contradicts itself, because it's the Word of God, and God does not contradict himself. We must take all that God says on a subject and know his will. And in passing, let me say that this is an error that so many make when it comes to the way of salvation. They'll see a passage that says we're saved by grace, and they'll say we're saved by grace alone. They'll see a passage that says we're saved by faith, and they'll add we're saved by faith alone, when the Bible never says we're saved by grace alone or faith alone. We must take all that the Bible says. It includes obedience as well as grace and faith. But these three passages speak of Christ hanging on the cross. Now, of course, as expected, inasmuch as they're referring to the same circumstance, there's much in common with these three accounts. For instance, each of them speak of events and words that were spoken by some of those about the cross of Christ and the death of Christ. And each of them notes the mockery, the derision, the ridicule heaped upon Jesus, even as he was physically suffering as he died on Calvary's tree. There was never any mercy extended to him by his enemies. And, of course, each of them implies the denials of his deity and the challenges of his identity as the Son of God. And each of them dares for him to come down from the cross. Here was the challenge. They said, "We will believe if you will come down." And they said that anyway, but we wonder if they would. We see so many people today who say, "If I could see a miracle performed, I would believe." But what makes you think you are different from these people here? These people who were crying out to him, challenging him, daring him to come down from the cross and saying they would believe if he would do that, there had been many miracles that had been performed. Miracles that his enemies even admitted were miracles. And yet they would go away rejecting him and not believing what he had to say. Oh, some today say, if I could just see a miracle. But friend, let's understand. The power behind the miracles is exactly the same power behind the record of the miracles, the Word of God. Why would you think one would believe one and not the other? For you see, our faith is not in the miracles, although we are sure they occurred, and they did confirm the things that were spoken. But our faith is in the one behind the miracles, the one who had the power of the miracles, and the one who's behind the revelation of the miracles. Our faith is in the Christ. Now, the challenge to Jesus to come down from the cross was a tremendous temptation for Christ, surely. For after all, he did have the power to do that very thing, had he chosen to do that. But had he not come that men might believe on him? And here it seemed to be a very easy and sure way to secure many converts. It was similar, wasn't it, to the temptation of the devil. When Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil tempted him to simply bow down before Satan, and the devil would just, as it were, retreat from the world. He would just give it all to Christ, if you would only worship me. Of course, Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, Matthew chapter 4. But it was a temptation, because it would bring immediate relief from the excruciating agony that he was suffering on the cross. For you see, friend, let us remember, Jesus was human as well as deity, and he could suffer as all humans suffer. But he did not come down from the cross. Now, our study is, what kept Jesus on the cross? Well, some have suggested several different things. For instance, some have said the nails held him on the cross and he couldn't come down. Now, he had been nailed to the cross. And we consider the physical circumstances, we have to ask, was it the power of these nails that had him nailed to the cross that kept him there? Had he been so securely fastened with the spikes through his hands and through his feet, so sufficiently secure as to even support the weight of his body? Was this why Jesus remained on the cross? Surely we would not think that the Lord's power was so small that the nails prevented his coming down. The one who, by the power of his voice, created the entire universe, who could calm the elements by speaking to them, who walked on the water, why, he would find the nails a very minor obstacle. The one who parted the Red Sea, who brought forth the flood at the time of Noah, who delivered Israel miraculously in battle after battle, the nails would be as nothing. No, we can't believe that the nails was the reason that he stayed on the cross. Well, it might have been the presence, some said, of the soldiers. That he knew there would be a futile attempt, that if he came down, it would be a useless gesture, for the soldiers would only immediately seize him again. But, friend, it was not the soldiers. Weren't soldiers later stationed before his tomb to prevent him from coming forth from that tomb? But they were not able to retard anything. Actually, the soldiers and others could not even have seized him in the Garden of Gethsemane if he had not surrendered himself to them. He could have called down 12 legions of angels for his protection if that had been his will, Matthew 26. Pilate would have had no power over him at all, except Jesus said that power was given to him in John the 19th chapter. No man, no group of men, not all the soldiers could have prevented what God had determined to do. If Jesus had been determined to come down from the cross, the soldiers could not have stopped him. Others had sought his life during his personal ministry, had they not? and he escaped them many times? No, it was not the soldiers that kept Christ on the cross, just as it wasn't the nails. Well, maybe it was because Jesus wanted to die and to make himself a martyr. Now, some skeptics have suggested this. But, friend, an explanation like that is so unreasonable in light of the fact that Jesus had earlier prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," Matthew 26. He had no desire to die such a death on the cross, except it was the will and the plan of God to accomplish the system of salvation for man. He had surrendered his will to the Father's will. He had prayed, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." But it was not because he wanted to die that he stayed on the cross. He was willing to die, but he was not wanting to die. Well, some have said he stayed on the cross because he finally realized it was useless to try to present himself to be what he really was not. He had been a pretender all along. He was a fake. He had said he was the Son of God, but he was not. He was truly defeated, and he now realizes this, and so he made no effort to come down from the cross. But was he an impostor? Was his scheme something that had failed, and now he was being justly punished for his blasphemy? Friend, I suggest to you, one of the ironies of the cross of Christ is that the one who died that day gives life, and the one who died that day is the only one remaining from all of those that were present to continually live and never to die again. What was considered to be a defeat, some consider it a defeat, was actually a giant step of Christ of victory toward his ultimate victory of accomplishing the purposes for which he had come to this earth. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to provide God's plan for saving man. What was the thought at the time to read the word of him? Was nothing but the finishing of God's plan for saving man. Justice was being done, but mercy would be extended because Christ was on the cross. Oh, men have come up with all kind of explanations as to why the taunts and the challenges and the accusations made against him even as he was on the cross, why he did not come down. Well, they say that he couldn't come down. Yes, he could have come down, but he chose not to come down. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to talk about what took him to the cross. And then after we talk about that, we're going to see the real reason why Jesus stayed on the cross. It's going to be a marvelous reason. It's going to provoke and motivate us to respond to the call of God to the salvation of our souls. I hope that you will be listening, and that you will now go back and read from Matthew and Mark and Luke and see how his enemies challenged him. Yes, as I said, they even dared him to come down, and they said they would believe if he did come down. Well, they would not have believed if he had come down. But it was a temptation because he was suffering so. But there was a reason why the Lord stayed on the cross. Those who have looked at the crucifixion say that is the most cruel persecution of execution that's ever been devised. But Christ was willing to suffer it, and he was not willing to terminate it in advance. Be with us tomorrow as we listen as to why Jesus stayed on the cross. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.